Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I should explain that I had intended to set all this up ready before the meeting, but on the way here we got stuck behind a red light that got stuck. So legally we weren't allowed to move, but eventually we found another route to get here. So, praise the Lord. How are you doing? All right? Now, today is Passion Sunday. That's not your worldly passions, but speaking of the passion of Jesus Christ. We then have Palm Sunday, which celebrates the time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem in triumph a few days before the cross. Then, of course, we have Good Friday and Easter. So on this Sunday, we begin to focus on all the events that surround the Passion and the death of Jesus. And that's really what I'm going to be focusing on this morning. Hallelujah. So we'll just have a bit of protective measure for the table. This plate represents Jesus. Now, he didn't choose to come. He was sent by the Father. And the Father obviously had a particular mission. A mission is what you are sent to do. So Jesus had a particular mission from the Father. He came with what we call the gospel, the good news about the kingdom of God. God wanted it possible for human beings who he had created to be able to be part of his eternal kingdom. Now, when man sinned, which is what is represented in the whole story of Adam and Eve, when man sinned, he was no longer fit for the kingdom of heaven. In heaven, you cannot have anything impure, unholy, or imperfect. So man, by his deliberate choice to sin, in effect, excluded himself from that point from being able to inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus came, when he was sent by the Father, he came with the gospel, the good news that now the kingdom was at hand. The first thing that Jesus said in his ministry was, "The time has come, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." So he came with the gospel about the kingdom. But of course, he had to do more than simply speak about it. He had to do whatever was necessary to make it possible for people to become part of the kingdom. There was no point in Jesus simply talking about a kingdom from which people were disqualified. So he had to do whatever was necessary to undo that work of sin, of failure, of self-centeredness that had infected humanity, so that people were not living for God, that they were living essentially for themselves. So it was essential for Jesus to live a perfectly obedient and sinless life. Because if he was to do what was going to be necessary to undo the work of sinners, he himself had to be sinless. A sinful person cannot undo the work of other sinful people. So only a sinless sacrifice. Sacrifice because blood signifies life. If you don't have blood flowing through your body, you don't have life. And if somebody has an artery cut and the blood begins to pour out of their bodies, then life is pouring out and they will soon be dead. So blood always signifies the life. So Jesus came. This plate represents him in the weakness of his humanity. And the scripture says that he was as weak as we are. He shared our weakness. He was tempted in every way just as we are. Not just those temptations that you read about during the 40 days of prayer and fasting after he received the Spirit. But the first 30 years of his life, Jesus grew up as a child. I can't say a normal child, because he was sinless. And those of you who have had children, all of you know you never gave birth to a sinless child. It's in fact that only in the very early days of their life, months of their life, that they begin to demonstrate the sinful nature with which they were born. The first word that they all learn is no, because the sinful nature leads people to do instinctively what is wrong, what is actually going to be harmful and damaging. So Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are, but no sin touched his life. Not only did he say no to the negative, but he did everything that was right positively. So he said that he didn't come to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. That he, on every point, obeyed what the Father wanted him to do. He did what he saw his Father doing. He spoke the words his Father gave him to speak. I'm constantly reminding you of these things, because Jesus had to live in perfect unity with the Father. Now, the devil wanted to destroy Jesus. And several times during the early part of his ministry, there were attempts to kill him. None of those attempts were successful because, first of all, it wasn't God's right time for him to die. But secondly, when it came to the point that he would die, it had to be by Jesus' decision, not by the devil's decision. Jesus had to willingly give himself up to be sacrificed on the cross. Now, that's Jesus. So, this is you, or any person, made in the image of God. But with that fallen nature, which mars the image of God in the life of that person. And because of that sinful nature, all kinds of sin emanated from that failure, fear, not a very nice sight from God's perspective. Because God's desire for this person is to be pure and holy He's got to be like that, or he can't belong to the kingdom of heaven. So, the problem, if you want to put it that way, for God, was how do I get people that are like that to become like that? He knew there was only one way. There was no way that he could just clean up this person's life. He knew that would never work, because even if all those sins were forgiven, this person would still be left with the fallen nature. And that fallen nature would only give birth to further sin. So just saying, I'm willing to forgive all those sins, would not get the job done. So there came the time that Jesus knew would come, but humanly speaking, he dreaded. Having lived this perfectly sinful, completely holy and righteous life, he knew there was going to have to be the time when he would take all the sin of mankind on himself. I think that's what he was dreading, not just the pain of crucifixion, but when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's any other way, let's have it. Nevertheless, if there isn't any other way, then your will be done, not mine. Deep in his heart, of course, he prophesied about his crucifixion, so he knew what the answer was going to be. But of course, this represents not only the sin, it represents everything that is less than God's perfect will for his people, all the sickness, all the works of Satan, all the works of the enemy, the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus had to face what for him was that terrible prospect. He had to go to the cross. He had to choose that as his Father's will. It's all right, dear, I'll replace it. It's one of our best ones. It had to be one of our best ones because, you see, God gave his best. That was the only way. The nails had to be driven in, and Jesus had to sacrifice his life. When he died, the sin, the sickness, the power of Satan died with him. All that he had taken upon himself died with him. As the disciples stood at the foot of the cross and saw Jesus not only in his agony, but remember, he'd been whipped and beaten, and he looked literally a bloody mess. You can understand that they would never have expected to see him in a risen body. They expected him to rise, but they thought he would go straight to heaven, just as when a Christian dies today, we expect them to go straight to heaven. We don't expect to see them in a risen body. So the thought of seeing that sacrifice on the cross being made whole and complete and perfect again was just beyond their imagining. So Jesus is doing this for all these sinners. However, just getting rid of the sin doesn't deal with the sinful nature. So God said, I can't do anything to clean that life up. That was your life. That's what God did with your old life. That's why Paul says, you have died. That's how you died. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. That person that was born into the world with a sinful nature no longer lives. You were crucified with Christ. You have died. The miracle, of course, is that Jesus rose in perfection. Even though he'd taken all our sin, our sickness, all the powers of the devil upon himself, on Easter morning, he demonstrated that the impurity of man could not affect his purity. The unholiness of humanity would not make him unholy. But he rose triumphant from the grave, death being God's judgment upon sin and therefore upon the sinner. So God's whole purpose in this, of course, was to make you a new creation in his image, but without that sinful nature, without that fallen nature. Now a fully redeemed child of God who belongs to the kingdom of God. So Jesus said to the disciples, fear not, little flock, your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is within you. So there you are, made sinless, made righteous, made holy in the sight of God, because you have put your faith in what he did for you on the cross. Therefore, because of your sinless nature, you will inherit the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. I would have thought that was worth an hallelujah, but however, of course, I haven't noticed anyone in this wonderful church having lived in perfection. God's purpose is that you will reflect perfectly the nature of his Son. So the scripture says, aim for perfection. That's a command in scripture. Aim for perfection. Aim for godliness. Aim to be as Christ is. One who reflects perfectly his nature, his love, his grace, his mercy, his power, his authority, all that he is. Sadly, we failed to do that. And although we are no longer bound by sin because of our death on the cross, we do still choose to sin. Perhaps inadvertently, perhaps sadly, sometimes knowingly. But because Jesus has taken us to the cross, and because we are now his children with a new nature, every time we sin, we can turn to him for forgiveness. And the sin is eradicated. It no longer exists in the sight of God. So God's purpose is that every day you live like this. Every day. That this is your aim, to live to please God. If you sin, you quickly get things right with God. So the sin is eradicated. And before God, you look pure and holy as he always intended you to be from the beginning of creation, made in his image. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a disciple, to aim to live like this, to aim to be like Jesus, to live in him and to know that he's living in you. Now, Jesus said, all those who look back are not fit for the kingdom. You can't look back. There's not much of you left here. You've been smashed to pieces. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But looking back to what you were will not help you to live the new life. That life is dead, buried, and finished with. And your water baptism was the funeral of your old life. It signified that life no longer exists. That person no longer exists. That Jesus knew he couldn't make you a better version of what you were. He had to end one life and begin another, which is why the scripture talks about being born again. You can only be born again because your first birth came to an end. Your first life came to an end. It came to an end when Jesus took you to the cross and you were crucified with him. That was a historic event that took place at a certain point in time, but it was of eternal significance. So when a sinner turns to God now, Jesus doesn't have to get crucified all over again. That which he did was the act that never needs to be repeated. It was the perfect sacrifice for the whole of sinful humanity of every successive generation. So we live in the good of that wonderful sacrifice. We have three nights of encounter this week. These are opportunities to meet with the Lord and to become more like Him, more like the people He wants us to be. If we're serious about our Christian lives, about doing what Jesus did, living to please the Father, living to fulfill the reason for His life here on earth, if you want to fulfill the reason why God has given you life on earth, then you will take seriously every opportunity to meet with Him and to encounter Him so that He can bring about that transformation in your life, so there will be less sin and more of His righteousness and His holiness being manifested in your life. Ultimately, it's always a matter of the heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." A few days ago, I had another encounter where I saw the Lord, where I saw Jesus. But it's not just a question of seeking to have experiences, but of seeking to live the life that He has made it possible for each of us to live. The kind of life that will be full of His love, of His presence, of His mercy, and of His grace. Because you see, we can only live like this because of His mercy. So at every time there is any sin, it gets eradicated. We can praise God that He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But you see, the next verse explains why He did that. "For He chose us in Him to be pure and holy in His sight." I know when God, many years ago now, first began to talk to me about what it meant to live a holy life, I thought I was the least worthy candidate in the whole of creation to live a holy life. I think we probably all think of ourselves like that. We think holiness, that must be something way out there for the super spiritual people, the really, really godly ones that live on another level from the rest of us. But no, that's God's purpose for every Christian, for every believer, for every child of God. Because you see, He is our holiness. He is our righteousness. He is our redemption. And He's done it all. He's made you holy. He's made you spotless. He's made you righteous. He's made you like that. And if any sin mars it, you get His mercy and the sin is erased so you can continue to live, to please Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him. Do we have any believers in the room? You see, this is His wonderful purpose. Now, of course, there are people who claim to be Christians who don't even seek to live like that, who don't want to live like that, but who believe that God has somehow blessed them so that they can just live in any way that they choose and trust that God will forgive them for all the sin and disobedience and rebellion, really, that goes on in their lives. Well, of course, people that live like that don't really know the Lord as He is, in His holiness, in His righteousness, in His perfection. Oh, any child of God can fall from grace, but he very rapidly will return to the place of grace if he really belongs to the Lord, because it's too uncomfortable to live out of the will of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts him of that sin, of that disobedience, of the rebellion or whatever it is that momentarily goes on in his life to bring him back to this place. Now, what I want you to understand, reason why I've gone to the great expense of smashing two of our plates, is I want you to see that's who you are, not who you ought to be. That is what God has made you. So now you can truly reflect His image. And as a child of God, if you love Him, if you love Him, that's how you will want to live. In yourself, you probably feel very weak. But what does God tell Paul? My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. You see, beloved, none of us can hide from the Lord the thoughts, the desires, the intentions of our hearts. He knows what you're thinking now. He knows how you're responding to this message. He knows whether you want to live like that or not. He knows whether you want to use Him or whether you want to be used by Him for His glory, honor, and praise. He knows those who will be faithful and who will remain faithful. He knows those who will honor Him and glorify Him. He knows those who will persevere in faith to the end and receive the crown of life. But of course, He also knows when those things are not the case in a believer's life. We can't fool Him. We can't pull the wool over His eyes. Nothing we can say will be able to commend ourselves to the Lord. It's never by our own works that we're justified and made acceptable in God's sight. We all recognize I can only be like that because of what Jesus did for me. And I can only reflect His life because He's put His own Spirit within me. And I can only continue to walk in a way that pleases Him because every day of my life, I depend upon His mercy to forgive me when I failed to reflect His life, His love, and who He is. And that I need His grace every day of my life to enable me to do what He wants me to do and to be what He wants me to be. This church is at a crucial stage because God isn't playing games with us. We have all kinds of wonderful promises of what He's going to do in the future, how He wants things to grow and develop and multiply here. But I look around and see lots of empty chairs. To me, an empty chair at a meeting is always an offense to God. Because if people only understood who He is and His plan and purpose for our lives being so wonderful, every chair would be filled. But actually, it's our responsibility to fill the chairs, to be the witnesses of who Jesus is so that he becomes so compelling to other people that they recognize their need of him and even their desire for him. Or you can go to lots of churches where you won't be challenged in the same way as you're challenged here. But neither will you be encouraged in the same way that you're encouraged here. Because you see, it's only the full truth of the gospel that encourages us to see ourselves in the full light of what God has done for us. That is just so, so encouraging. The challenge is to live like that. Not to live to become like that. Can you understand? We can't live to become like that. He's made us like that. And we live to stay like that. That's why we need his mercy and his grace. And when you realize that, when that clicks in your heart, you begin to feel ashamed of anything in your life that is not like Jesus. And when you feel ashamed of those things, then you're prepared to do something about it. And your love for him really says, Lord, I don't want to do anything that shames you. I want to reveal who you are in my life, because you made me in your image. And through that precious sacrifice on the cross, you have restored me to the image of God, that you might be seen in my life. That in touching me, other people will touch you. Just close your eyes. And just thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need a lot of words. Just keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you, Lord, that you took me to the cross. And when you were crucified, I was crucified along with you. Thank you for the truth of your word, that I have died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. Thank you, Lord, that I have been crucified with Christ. And I, the person that was born into this world with a sinful nature, I no longer live. But now Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. For you chose me before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in your sight. Thank you, Jesus, that through what you did on the cross, you have made me holy and blameless in your sight. I can stand before you, before your heavenly throne of glory, in righteousness and holiness, clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, not in any righteousness of my own, not in any goodness of my own, not in any holiness of my own, but clothed with Christ. Lord, it's a miracle what you have done for me and Lord, I can't speak for anyone else, but I want to live in the good of that miracle. I want to live a life that is pleasing to you and fulfills the plan and destiny that you have for me as a child of God. And thank you, Lord, that doesn't happen by striving or straining in my own strength, but only by believing what you have done and trusting in your mercy and your grace every day of my life. That when you look upon me, you see me holy and blameless because I'm in Christ, in whom there is no sin. And that when you look upon my life, you see not just me, but you see Christ, your own beloved Son, in me. You see his life welling up within my life, longing to be expressed more and more in the person that I am, in the things I say and the things that I do. And I praise you and I exalt you and I glorify your wonderful name. Yes, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you that you've chosen me and each one of us in this place for such great and mighty and wonderful things. Oh Lord, no man could conceive such a plan. But we thank you that you have already executed that plan, and Jesus now is seated with you in glory, waiting for all your enemies to be put under his feet. Waiting for the time when he will come and gather to himself all who belong to your kingdom. All who you have made holy and righteous and blameless in your sight. So, Lord, we thank you for the revelation of faith in the hearts of every one of us here this morning, that we won't see ourselves as Satan wants us to believe we are, as those that are sinful and sinners and cut off from God. But we see ourselves as you have made us. We see ourselves in the good of what you have done for us. We believe, Lord, in your word. We believe in the revelation of the truth. We believe in all that you have accomplished through your passion, through your death, and your glorious resurrection. And we thank you, Lord, that as we focus on these things during these coming days, that we will have a greater revelation and a greater understanding of the amazing thing that you have done for us. And that we will live in the good of that for the praise and the honor and the glory of your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give him all the glory. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. So just as we remain in prayer for a moment, just realize all your sin was overcome on the cross. Not just your sins forgiven, but you don't have to live under the power of sin. That was broken on the cross. All your sicknesses were dealt with then. Don't just say, you know, will God heal me or I want God to heal me. Thank him that he has done all that is necessary for your healing. And he wants you to live in the good of that inheritance. You don't have to talk about the devil robbing you or having any advantage over you, because the scripture says that he has disarmed the demonic powers and authorities that oppose you. Hallelujah. He disarmed them on the cross. He has armed you with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. So you are armed and the enemy is disarmed. So we thank you, Lord, for the victory that you give us. Thank you that you are our victory. And oh, Lord, it's going to be so wonderful when we enter into the fullness of our inheritance with you in glory. When, Lord, we will be able to enjoy our unity with you without the world and the flesh and the devil. We long for that time, Lord. But until then, we pray that you will keep every one of us faithful to the end. Give us hearts, Lord, that really desire your will and your plan and your purpose. We don't want any casual attitudes towards sin and disobedience. We don't want any of those attitudes, Lord, that seeks to please self rather than to please you. But we want to see your praise, your glory in our lives. So we bless you. And Lord, we pray that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be nights of real encounter with you. When, Lord, we will meet with you and you will meet with us. And we will not just know your presence, but we really will know you doing good, significant, important things in our hearts and in our lives, freeing us, equipping us to live more fully the life that you have made it possible for us to live. And all this we pray, that your holy name will be exalted, that you will be glorified in our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord and thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.